Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out. He threw him a changeup in the zone. And Terang strikes out. That's daring. 2-2. Monasterio strikes out swinging on that down and in splinker. Four strikeouts for Skeens. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, strike three call. Back door to him. Six strikeouts for Skeens through the first 10 batters. What's Skeens got here? Here's a 2-2. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Inside fastball. 10 strikeouts for Paul Skeens. Here's a 1-0 to Freeland. Swinging a bouncer on to third. Hayes gloves. Throw to first. Got him. Seven no-hit innings for Paul Skeens in Milwaukee. On this Thursday afternoon, the all-star rookie of the Pirates getting applause from the Brewers fans. That's how well he has pitched today.
That's how good it sounded. That's how good it went. That's how great things were going in Milwaukee yesterday. Then we get to the eighth inning. Seven innings, no hit ball. One walk, no runs allowed, 11 strikeouts, everything moving along for Paul Skeens, and he just continues to shove. We get to the eighth inning. Colin Holderman's on the mound, not Paul Skeens. And you can almost hear the reaction. You can almost hear the buzz in the air from when that happened. And I'm not talking about in Milwaukee. I'm talking about here in Pittsburgh. Should Paul Skeens have pitched in the eighth inning? We're going to talk about it for a good while today. Josh Taylor in for Joe Starkey on the Joe Starkey Show, 93.7 The Fan. Really excited to be back. It's been a good minute since I've been around here. A lot going on, both on the TV side and also on the family side, so the opportunities I'm in here and few and far between, but it's good to be back. Got Austin Bechtold on the ones and twos, man. Like, by the way, how many shows have we done together? It's not many.
Not too many.
If I can think of it at all.
About three or four, I think.
Yeah, if that. Because you started out on weekends and then you had to, you know, get all important and shoot up and start doing weekdays and stuff and disappear from us weekend guys. But, yeah, it's good to be back doing it again with you, brother.
Yeah, great working with you, man. It's always a good time.
Absolutely. And for the record, and let's break this down now. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We will hear from Austin at noon with the Bechtold breakdown. He's got some fun stuff that we're going to talk about. NCAA Football 25 fans, we got you. We're going to get into it. We got a fun topic to get into with that. But in about an hour, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette, he's going to join us. We're what, 2 weeks from training camp?
That's it.
It creeps up on you, dude. It really does. Because, like, you're in mini camp. You're like, it's mini camp. It doesn't matter. Oh, you're in OTAs. You got, like, 7-8 weeks. We're 2 weeks from training camp. Like, the wheels are turning now. So Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette will join us at 11. At noon, it's the Bechtold Breakdown. 1 o'clock, Bob Walk. Pirates broadcaster, Pirates analyst will join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk about yesterday. I'm sure you guys have questions for Walkie as much as we do. And in about 15 minutes, we're taking your phone calls, 412-928-9370. We'll get into all of this, and I'm sure you're going to hit us up on the Fan Twitter, so hit us up at 937TheFan, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Also, call us on the Fan Hotline, same number, 412-928-9370, presented by Sullivan Super Service, provided trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Let's get into this now. Let's break this down. Austin, you and I were texting back and forth about this during the game as we were getting to the final here, because we were talking about, first of all, we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today. Then that answer came for us because that happened in the eighth inning. Here's where I am on this. I'm one of those people that when it comes to pitchers and how we're monitoring how many pitches they've thrown or innings they've thrown, I take it on a case-by-case basis because no two pitchers are the same, right? I'm not going to expect Mitch Keller to go as deep into a game as prime Justin Verlander did because they're not the same pitcher. Prime Justin Verlander could be at 108 pitches going into the ninth inning, and his 109th pitch in the ninth inning would be like 99 miles an hour. He's just not built like any other guy. Certain guys, you just have different rules for different people. So I'm one of those people. I'm not going to just assume every pitcher should get the same kind of opportunity. That's not where I stand. However, when you have a guy like Paul Skenes, who's doing what he's doing, both over the course of the season and in the course of that individual game, and let's break this down again, 7 innings. Struck out 11, gave up only one walk, no runs crossed the plate, and he had retired 16 guys in a row. But a little bit more added context, he only threw 6 pitches in the 7th inning. For me, that alone suggests a guy who's in control of a game. Do I think he goes the full 9 for the no-hitter? That's not on my radar. I'm only thinking 8th inning at that point. I'm also thinking about the fact, to add more context, 1-0 game on the road in Milwaukee, division opponent, team who leads the division, by the way, in a series where you've won one game and they've won one game. So now you can take this series on the road in a place where historically you didn't win very often and you can walk out with 2 out of 3. Why not go out with your best guy on the mound? And let's not get it twisted. Any day Paul Skenes is on the mound, he's your best guy. I understand. I understand that by a lot of metrics, Colin Holderman is the best reliever in baseball right now. I get that. And I understand what Aroldis Chapman does as a left-hander who can throw triple digits. That's not lost on me. But any day Paul Skenes, any day the guy wearing number 30 in black and gold's on the mound, he's your best guy. If you were on the road in a game like Milwaukee, 1-0, runs have been hard to come by, but they haven't come by any because you got your best guy on the mound, you go out with your best guy on the mound. And if you lose with your best guy, tip your hat. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. I would have put him back in for the 8th inning. Austin, you and I were talking about it. You were furious that he didn't go back in for the 8th inning.
I was not happy. And part of it is, when he was done with 6, I figured, okay, he's not going to get 9.
Right.
That's just
exactly
the reality of
Same.
It. But when he pitches a 6-pitch inning with the weak contact that he was getting, all ground balls, you thought to yourself that he could go at least another inning. And part of me thought, he's not even approaching his number of pitches that he's thrown in a game this year.
Right.
He threw 107 against the Mets in his last start, And he threw 103 one time earlier this year.
Right.
So he was not approaching even that limit. I mean, you're talking about another eight pitches. We had a six-pitch inning right before that. At LSU, he threw over 120 pitches three times.
Yes.
He topped out at 123. And this is not a pitcher who's old, who doesn't take care of his body, and is somebody who is a powerful arm who seems like one of the most well-conditioned baseball players, at least for the Pirates, we've ever seen. Young 22-year-old guy with stamina for days.
And he hasn't been pitching that long. Remember, he played catcher to start out his college career, then he moved over and started pitching. So it's not like he's been doing this, you know, if he's 22, like he's been doing it since he was 12, pitching every year, and the way the travel baseball schedules go. We're not talking about your average run-of-the-mill ball player. We're talking about a guy whose path had taken several detours to get to this particular point. So it's not like his arm has had a bunch of mileage on it. You mentioned the number of pitches he's thrown at LSU, and to put context within that, when you're pitching in college, and this is why this is important, when you're pitching in college, especially in a conference like the SEC for a program like LSU, he's only going to throw once a week. He's probably going to be your Friday guy. In college baseball, for those who aren't aware, you got your Friday guy, you got your Saturday guy, you got your Sunday guy. Those are your three best pitchers that are going to start games for you, and they are going to start conference games on the weekends, because during the week, you're playing non-conference games, you're playing, you know, Midwest directional state of Michigan during the week that are coming to town, and you're going to thump on them for 2 days. But you got guys in the bullpen, you got upcoming freshmen, you got dudes that might not get innings throwing those games during the week. So in college, you're throwing one game a week, so he can go 120, 130 pitches, and a college coach is not going to think twice about it because he's got the entire week to rest up and get himself ready. That being said, Paul Skeens, who's been in that position quite a few times, you'd figure he's going to know how to get himself ready from start to start, even if he only has 4 days rest. So it for me, it comes back around to, once again, no two pitchers are made the same. So we're not talking about your average guy who might fall apart after 100. And I thought Travis Sawchuk, longtime baseball writer, previously wrote here in Pittsburgh, he had a great point. He said, why do we always have arbitrary numbers that just kind of encompass everything? Because we know no two pitchers are the same. So why do we just assume we have to put certain numbers on certain guys when the contexts don't always match?
Well, and it's also the situation. No one had reached base since the second inning.
Yeah.
Now, I understand 61 pitches through three, not a good sign.
No, it's
and that's
not
a major reason why he was not able to finish it out. But he completely settled in and was in a groove. If it was the other way around and he threw, what, like 40 pitches or so through the first four innings, and then it got to be troublesome.
Right.
His control is getting to be wavy.
Because a couple Jarrett Jones starts have gone that
correct.
Way. Correct.
Right. Then I understand it. From the perspective of how Skeens was throwing, and I mean, Skeens talked about it after the game, and Shelton did as well, and we can hear those in a moment. Skeens seemed like, I mean, Shelton said he seemed tired, and he was starting to wear down a little bit. I don't think the velocity was dropping that much, if at all, and it was still weak contact. It's not like it was line drives to the outfield, and Milwaukee was piecing him up very well.
And that's the thing. If they're not squaring you up, and they're not getting solid hit, like solid hit line drives or base hits off of you, then I'm going to think, okay, at least he's still got something left. And even if he does go in and that first hitter, like just like Colin Holderman, Colin Holderman's in, that first hitter gets a base hit, okay, fine. Have a guy ready to go. Have Holderman hot ready to go if Skeens gives up that hit. That used to be how that procedure worked.
Right.
You go out there, you give him that space, but say, hey, it's a close game. Let's have somebody ready if things go wrong.
And if it gets to the point where he finishes the eighth with 115 pitches, it's a lot more understandable. A lot more understandable.
But you're still going out on a good note. Maybe he still has no hitter in check. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he gives up a hit but still leaves with, you know, without giving up a run. It's still a good note for him to end before the All-Star break. And mind you, the calendar still times out for him to have enough rest going into the All-Star game, which he's been getting called on from all corners to start, by the way. We left that part out.
And he's only going to pitch one inning in that game, by all accounts. It's one, maybe two.
Yeah.
That's it. And then the Pirates, if they want, he can rest on Wednesday. He can rest on Thursday. Games resume on Friday. The Pirates could just rest him Friday, Saturday, and schedule to pitch him on Sunday. They control when they want to throw him.
It could easily be one of those, like a Pedro Martinez situation where, if, let's say he goes out in the first inning and just blows everybody away. They're like, all right, let's put him back out there for the second and see where it goes. I could totally see that situation happening. But even with that scenario, this still lines up. You can get him enough rest before the All-Star game. He can throw his one inning, maybe two, and you get him enough rest after the game going into the weekend. Maybe he's your Sunday starter in that first series coming out of the break. It felt like everything just lined up to give him at least that opportunity and let him get that opportunity. After 11 starts, hasn't he earned a little bit more rope?
I think so. And especially how they played it at the very beginning of the year, conservative to get to this point.
You'd like to think after a while, pitchers build up a certain level of trust to have that kind of rope. So, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, this is the Joe Starkey Show. Josh Taylor in today for Joe. We've been talking about Paul Skeens, and I'm one of those people that when it comes to looking up numbers and stats and finding context of what I can find, I'm a frequenter of Baseball Reference when I'm looking for numbers. Especially numbers over a certain period of time. If I'm looking at game logs, if I'm looking at splits, I'm going to Baseball Reference because they have pretty much everything. Now, Baseball Reference had a tweet that went out today, I believe. It went out this morning. There are three players in Baseball Reference's database to have multiple games with 6-plus innings and 0 hits allowed before age 23. Paul Skeens is the only one to do it in the last 100 years. The other two guys pitched in the early 20th century. Johnny Lush, who pitched from 1906 to 1908, he did it twice. And then Jim Scott, who pitched in 1910, he did it twice. Those are the only three. Like, it's three guys to do it ever and one to do it in 100 years. That's what Paul Skeens did yesterday. But the discussion right now, as it stands, do you bring Paul Skeens back in for the eighth inning? 412-928-9370. We got Jerry on the line. Jerry, you're on the Fan.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
I think it was a tough decision for Shelton, but I think he made the right decision. Because he didn't have a lot of leeway. You know, if it had been a 4-run lead, probably no question he'd have sent him back out there.
That's fair. One run game. That's fair. It's a good point.
But I think the biggest decision came three batters later. Whenever Colin Holderman had the bases loaded, and Sheldon had to decide whether to leave him in there or make a change. And he made a right decision by leaving them in there.
Now, let me counter your point with another question, Jerry. Wouldn't an equally as good decision have been to keep Skeens in and have Holderman ready to go?
Well, it might have been, but anytime you get a man on base, he's a possible run.
I totally agree. And Jerry, thank you for the call. And Jerry brings up a good point. And Austin and I talked about this at the top of the show. One run game, you know, one swing can change everything. We know this. But my counterpoint to that is Holderman put the first two batters he saw, both got on base. So the tying and go-ahead runs were on base two batters in after they pulled Skeens. So it's one of those, like, you can call it a 50-50 shot if you want to. You can call it live by the sword, die by the sword if you want to. But the truth of the matter is, Paul Skeens going into that eighth inning was on a run we haven't seen much from a pitcher this season, much less in the past couple years, as far as shutting the guys down that he shut down, Austin.
Well, that's the thing. I trust the guy that hasn't allowed a hit that's probably the best pitcher in baseball and might start the All-Star game over any reliever that's going to come in, even though Colin Holderman's been fantastic this year.
Yes.
A couple blips on the radar in the last week or so. But, I mean, if Skeens gives up a home run, he gives up a home run. Balls weren't even reaching the outfield against him.
And once again, six pitches the previous inning, and everything that was hit in the previous inning was on the ground. So it's kind of hard for – and I understand. I understand Jerry's point wholeheartedly. And when you're in that position, it is damned if you do, damned if you don't. But in that particular case, I'd rather be damned if I do by leaving him in. Because once again, you're keeping your best guy in the position to do what he's been doing for the entirety of the game leading up to that point. Nick and Dormont, you're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up?
What's up, Nick?
So, how I look at it is guys around the league are getting hurt anyway on these pitch counts, right? So I just think, like, some guys have it and some guys don't. So, like, if Skeens is going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt anyway eventually. Mm. So I don't know. But I think they should have left him in. Especially because the last inning he only had, like, 7 pitches.
Yeah, he threw 6 pitches. 6 pitches, yeah, the previous inning.
Just let him go back in.
Yeah, Nick, thanks for the call. Nick kind of echoes what I said earlier. You know, I mean, he said that some guys have it, some guys don't. I look at it as no two pitchers are the same. You know, you're one guy who might be able to throw 105, 110 over 8 and 9 innings and be fine, may not be the same as the guy who throws 85 and 7 and probably needs to come out. Like, they're, no two pitchers are the same. I don't want to use the whole they're like snowflakes and thumbprints theme, but it's kind of a true statement. But it does come back to the point of, who are you dealing with? If we're talking about Luis Ortiz, maybe I don't feel the same way. If we're talking about Bailey Falter, maybe I don't feel the same way. Even if we're talking about Mitch Keller, it's an argument that can go 50-50 for me. We're talking about Paul Skeens here. He's a different animal. He's a different cat, different circumstances. And once again, you're in a game where you got your best guy on the mound. Go down with your best guy. Dave in Bellevue, you're on the Fan. You there, Dave?
Yeah, I had to take you off the speaker. My take on that whole Paul Skeens thing was basically they're acting like this game meant everything in the world, as in the, we got to get this win. It's against the Brewers. It's an interdivisional game. And at the same time, they also, on days like, I say, a Sunday schedule comes out when we're playing someone interdivisional, that he puts up some lousy lineup where it almost looks like they don't care if they win or lose. And it's almost like we pick and choose as an organization the show we're trying to win at all costs. But at the same token, last time I remember a game that we actually had a chance for our starting pitcher, not that split extra inning,
yeah,
no hitter,
right?
But was Drabek,
yeah.
And it was in, and get this, I walked into a bar to meet my buddies, and after I got off work, shower, whatever, get there. I walk in just so he could give up the hit, and they all blame me. for entering a bar unknowingly, not even knowing that there's no hitters even going on. They're all, thanks a lot. I'm like, what the hell did I do?
fantastic. Dave, so, I got to let you go, but thank you for the call because we're up against it. That was amazing. I have a similar story to that, but it involves the Penguins and a Stanley Cup run and me being in the bathroom, but we're not going to get into that now. But that is epic. And Dave brings up a good point too. We try to assign some kind of unqualified weight on certain games. Oh, well, this one matters because it's a division opponent, but you can win the series with this one and you don't put the lineup out that you need to win. I kind of set Sunday games aside. Jim Leland had Sunday lineups. A lot of managers had Sunday lineups. I know people don't like to hear that because it's kind of an old school thing, but it's a thing that's been around for a while. So I do set Sunday games to the side, but I do feel like when you have a chance to win a series and it's a divisional opponent, or it's even an opponent in your same league, if it's an NL opponent, because divisional race, wild card race, it still applies. It all still plays. I still feel like you put your best foot forward. And I felt like that was a game yesterday where you want to get that series win. You want to get that one up on a division opponent. You want to try to whittle down that deficit in the division. Or more importantly, you want to whittle down that deficit in the wild card spot. That game is as important as any you're going to run into over the course of the season. So winning that game, I think becomes really, really critical. But it just so happens you go into that game with your best guy on the mound. So you got a game that you know you want to win, and you got your best guy. It just feels like some things are no-brainers when you add them all up.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Josh Taylor in for Joe Starkey today on the Joe Starkey Show. We've been talking a lot about Paul Skeens. Still taking your phone calls, 412-928-9370. We're also taking your texts on the Fan text line. Same number, 412-928-9370. The Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We got Linda in North Hills on the line. Linda, you're on the Fan.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Linda?
Pretty good, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, you know, initially when we were talking, when everybody's been talking about should he have stayed in, should he have come out, my initial thoughts were it's really unfortunate. I thought maybe he should come out of the game just to protect his arm and whatnot. But then the more I'm thinking about it, I think he should have stayed in for this reason. Well, these reasons. One, we're only winning by one run. Two, he's pitching well and efficiently into the later innings. Three, he hasn't been in the rotation all like for the whole season. So, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about here because I don't follow this necessarily.
You're doing fine, Linda. You're doing fine. You're doing just fine.
Yeah. And four, you know, we're playing the Brewers and they're leading the division. So if and he's pitching a no-hitter. So when do you, like, keep him in it? What scenario, then, would make sense to keep him in? Plus, he's 22, mm-hmm. and he's a big guy, and he's strong. So I don't know when do you keep him in? Like, in my opinion, this was the occasion to keep him in.
Linda, you say you don't know what you're talking about, but you sound like you did just fine to me, and thank you for the call. Linda had the exact same thought process I had. Because when I thought about it, and granted, at the time, I'm listening to the game as I'm driving around. Because I had a couple things I had to do yesterday. I had a doctor's appointment. I had met a friend for lunch. I had a haircut appointment because I'm on TV tonight. Got to look good. So I'm moving around town. Got to go pick up my son from daycare. I'm moving around listening to the game. And they get to the end of the seventh inning. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, he's got 99 pitches. He's probably done for the day. But when I hear them say top of the eighth, when the Pirates are coming to bat, I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. He's got 99 pitches through seven innings. That's when I started to think, wait a minute. Should you bring him back for the eighth? I was like Linda. The more I thought about it and the more things just start popping in my head, I'm going, well, you got to bring him back out now. And I couldn't text a friend fast enough. I hope we see Skeens for the eighth. And by the time I fired off to hit the send button, you hear Joe Block, Colin Holderman's out on the mound for the eighth. And I'm like, ah. But I felt the same way Linda did. Where the more evidence and information that I kind of laid out in front of myself, metaphorically speaking, the more I thought of it, the more it made sense to me. On the road against Milwaukee, division game, you're up 1-0. He's your best guy. Any day he's on the mound, he's your best guy. He's your best shot to win. And oh yeah, by the way, after 11 starts, he has never left a game trailing a game. If there's a track record you actually roll the dice on, maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the stat you look at and say, okay, pitching numbers aside, stats aside, no hitter aside, this dude has never left a game yet trailing in a game. Maybe that's the thing that makes a difference. I don't know. Okay, this is weird. We got a Josh in Pittsburgh talking to a Josh in Pittsburgh. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, yeah, so I kind of agree with them pulling him purely based on the fact that it was the seventh inning. I think that if he had 99 through 8, they would put him back out there.
Oh, it's no-brainer then. Sure, I agree.
In my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so say he has a 15-pitch eighth inning efficient. He's at 114. At that point, I don't know if they would send him back out there just purely based on his pitch count and all that stuff. So I think in their mind, they were thinking, even if he has an efficient eighth, there's no way we can put him back out for the ninth. And I think that there would be even more of an uproar if they put him out for the eighth, three up, three down, and then they take him out for the ninth. And I think this is not like – I don't want to jinx him, but I'm fairly confident saying that he will have a no-hitter in his career.
Oh, yeah.
He has shown that.
I think that's fair.
11 starts twice. And I think that they're just – you know, they're still trying to wear baby gloves with him. Obviously, they haven't, like, limited him like they do with Falter where he doesn't go 85 or Jones where they try to limit him. I think that they're still trying to play it safe, and I think that they also maybe have that mindset where this isn't a fluke. He's going to do this day in and day out, and I obviously he would have loved to go the whole game because he's a competitor.
Yes.
I think everyone in Pittsburgh wanted him to go the whole game because he's the golden child, but I agree with it. I think he's incredible, and I think that he should face the first three batters in the All-Star game.
Totally agree with that last part. Thanks for the call, Josh. Anybody calls, his name is Josh. I'm automatically going to like a guy on principle. But anyway, Josh brings up an interesting point about his pitch count through seven. Now, I've covered quite a bit of baseball over the course of my career. For 3 years, I worked in Northwest Arkansas, covering the AA affiliate for the Royals, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. And you talk to different guys in the minors, you talk to managers, you talk to pitching coaches, and I feel terrible because the person who mentioned this that I heard, I can't remember exactly who it was, but I know it was either a manager or a pitching coach. And they said, when you're dealing with pitch counts, some guys like to think one inning ahead. What Josh just did, Josh was thinking an inning ahead. He's thinking the same thing that ran through my mind because if you listen to even Stephen Brault, Pirates analyst on Sportsnet Pittsburgh, he talked about this. He said, for an inning, you're looking at 12 to 15 pitches. After you get past 15, that's when it gets high risk. So you think 12 to 15 pitches ahead after the seventh inning, you're looking at anywhere between 111 and 114. I feel the same way about that. But I also feel if he comes in, you put him in the eighth, and he's done after the eighth, especially if he goes through an order. Even if he puts a guy on, you're still done with him after the eighth. I don't mind the thought of him having 100-plus pitches in the eighth. And to the counterpoint of, well, there's going to be an uproar if you don't bring him out for the ninth. Well, let there be an uproar. There's going to be an uproar if you don't bring him out for the eighth. Otherwise, we're not here talking. And let's keep this 100% funky. We live in Pittsburgh. There's going to be an uproar for just about everything you do. Just about everything the manager does, there's going to be an uproar, good, bad, or indifferent. Like, let's not sugarcoat this. Someone's going to be mad about something. You might as well just book that. We've reached the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge in Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates, terms, and conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 91 today with sunny skies. Also, we want you back after this break. Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. It's a sunny 91-degree day, but it's a great time to schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Now, in about an hour, We've been talking pretty much this whole first hour about Paul Skeens and the no-hit bid that he had through seven innings. Well, just so happens, 27 years ago today was the last Pirates no-hitter. In about an hour, we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about the combined no-hitter with Francisco Cordova and Ricardo Rincon. We'll talk about that in about an hour and just the meaning of that. And by the way, Austin Beck told our producer, he and I are going to share stories about that day. I guarantee you my story will be longer than Austin's, if only by default. But we'll discuss why in about an hour. Also, top of the hour, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette is going to join us. We are almost 2 weeks. We are 2 weeks from when players report to training camp. But we're almost 2 weeks from the first practice at training camp. We are there. We're sitting on top of it. So we'll talk about that with Ray. A couple of things I want to toss at him. Particularly, Cam Sutton among those topics. Players looking for contracts. I'm going to get Ray's thoughts on whom he thinks will walk out of Latrobe with contract in hand. We'll talk about those things. Plus,
trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.